By the light of the stars, I was hunting again for a mean old troll in a third-level den. I'd been lucky so far, this was old-school rules. I should have been cautious, should have used my tools. The path was leafy and the way was dim. The DM cracked a smile, but I ignored him. And then I fell into a spike pit.
Hello, hello, I'm Colin Green, and you are listening to Spike Pit, episode 112.
Hey, Spike Pit, I'm glad you had fun in Matt's game. That's the great thing, being inspired and being like, hey, I'm gonna go play that. So glad you had a good time. That's it. Whisk out.
And that's Ivy, the happy whisk. Thanks for calling in, Ivy. Ivy's not a gamer, but she understands the benefits of gaming and having fun. Always backing up Tim in his endeavours. And great to hear from you. Now, the Black Hack. I loved that game. I've played the one session. I've got the bug. I need to play some more. But let's hear from the man himself.
Hey, Colin, it's Matt. I'm really glad you enjoyed the game on Sunday. I guess my love of Black Hack is showing through. I really was interested in how you guys thought about the session, you know, because I was really wanting to run it like I run BX with that sort of gritty, grim kind of feel that is going to convey, you know, the need for caution and exploration more so than just straight combat and everything. So I think it was really good the way it turned out. I really kind of internally wonder if it's just my play style or if it's the game, because that is kind of how I run my BX games as well. So I don't know, but, oh crap. Gonna pull the Jackson. And on your thoughts on Roll 20, I am 100% in agreement with you. I'm pretty slick in Roll 20. I do the dynamic lighting. I do doors that open. I throw some sounds in there. So I'm pretty fluent in it as well. Not as good as Jason. You're right. He has spent, I don't know, weeks in Roll 20, especially in his Kalmata setting. He's done so much prep work in there. That would drive me insane. I literally take the maps I draw, 10 minutes, I throw down the dynamic lighting, and I roll with it. Maybe I can get in there sometime and show you how I do it. It's very easy, and it's very easy to add some stuff, but I do agree with you. It slows down the game. I've heard 100 times, you know, people say a picture is worth 1,000 words, and you can show so much more with a map, but honestly, for the fluid, quick game, theater of the mind all the way.
As ever, thanks for calling in, Matt, and I want to pick up on a couple of things that Matt talked about there. Firstly, talking about tone and style of play, the session he ran, for me, totally captured that OSR feel. And it's a funny thing, when I was thinking about the Black Hack, in my mind I was wondering about a few products that I might like to run alongside it, like I thought probably the Middlelands would be bang on as a setting. It's something I've wanted to get to the table for quite some time, and I just see it working really well, so I'm going to do that. And then I also thought about Operation Unfathomable and the Dungeon Dozen. These are both Jason Schultes's work. And I think part of the reason was in the Black Hack second edition, there's some sort of like more light-hearted artwork, and some of the random tables and that have got this slightly more, I don't especially want to say gonzo, but if I say gonzo, everybody will know what I mean. And I think sort of Schultes' stuff can be a little bit like that, and that was sort of like my initial thinking. There's even a little bit of that in a sort of a slightly darker, grimmer way in the Middlelands. So this sort of I saw that common thread running through all these different parts. But it doesn't need to be like that at all. And I'll probably dial that back a little bit because I'm not super into the Gonzo. A little bit, fine. I like it a little bit lighthearted, like I said before. But I can only handle so much craziness. But Matt has proven to me that you could probably play any style you want with that black hack. Which brings me on to someone else, Larry Hamilton, Follow Me and Die podcast and various other ventures. He kindly responded to a call-in I did on his show requesting that he discusses the front, the World War II RPG that's based on the first edition Black Hack. He was kind enough to do that. Great episode if you haven't heard it. He talks about his experience of running it and gives you a basic overview of the system. I've since downloaded it. It was a couple of quid or 150, something like that. Got a PDF copy. I'm going to check it out because I'm really interested in this idea of different game systems, how they transfer between genres. It's just something I'm looking at since I read Eldritch Tales by Joe Salvador, you know, and he's taken the white box kind of D&D and put the Lovecraftian Eldritch vibe to it. And it just, on reading that, it just got so many ideas going in my mind. I thought, you know, what other games do a similar thing? And, you know, the front popped into my mind. I also thought about the Operation White Box, the other World War II one by Peter Spohn. And, I'm fascinated. So I'd like to hear other people's thoughts on that. So there's maybe a topic for some call-ins if anyone's interested on that one. And the other thing I wanted to say was Matt was talking about Roll 20, and it just so happens that Larry mentioned that he's got some YouTube videos on using Roll 20. So I've noted that, Larry, and I will have to check those out.
Hey, Spike Pitt, it's Vance. Happy Monday. Hey, it's good to meet you and game with you this weekend. Matt's enthusiasm for Black Hack is infectious, and yeah, liking the system. I think, like you said, everything is, you know, the stats mean something, and everything's just kind of laid out there. No saves, no skills, no proficiencies, just roll with your stat numbers. Anyway, hope you're having a great week, and keep at it, man. Talk to you later. Okay, bye.
Yeah, thanks, Vance. You may have noticed this is these call-ins are about a week out of date. All this gaming and playing a Black Hack went on a week ago for me. But I wanted to talk a little bit more just about this game. And so I've grouped the messages and call-ins accordingly. I believe the technical term for this, where you've got one overriding kind of mechanic, it's just like a unified mechanism to the game. And Black Hack definitely nails it there with its use of attributes and just this kind of idea of rolling under your attribute. It's like Vance was saying, it's done away with the saving throws. And so all your abilities, all your saves, basically everything you want to do is just related to your attribute. And I just love that because for once you haven't got these sort of different bands that you get with bonuses. So whatever your attribute is, it really matters. You know, there's a difference between an 11 and a 12. And I don't know, I just think it just makes sense for me. It ticks a lot of boxes in my mind. And I've got no no problem or issue with rolling low. If I sit at a table and I know I'm rolling low, you know, you could say it might be a little bit jarring initially, perhaps for some people, but for me, no, it's not the case. And it's not confusing because you know that's what it is going in, and you soon fall into the swing of it. So I just got loads of respect for the design. It's so clean, and the second edition comes with so many random tables, and I just want to sort of like sit down with this book and see how much I can do just out of the one book. You know, we've probably, if you've been role playing for a little while, you know, you end up with shelves of product, and sometimes it's quite refreshing to just say take a book off the shelf and sort of see what you can do with the one book, and you know, push it this way, push it that way. And I think that Black Hack 2 is a really great toolbox. You know, there's probably things you could criticize about it. Perhaps the rules for armor could have been a little bit clearer, but Matt cleared that up quite nicely in his episode. I think it's interesting the way that they've put all the rolling over to the players. The DM can sit back a little bit and concentrate on just running the game. And I don't know, I just think it's really, really smooth and kind of, what's the word? Elegant. Elegant, I would describe the game as elegant. And the usage die as well. I think that's kind of something it's renowned for. And yeah, I can see that coming in a lot of different ways. Particularly, it's a way to control magic. For me, I can see magic items with usage dies being really handy. And I like the fact that there's not there's a lack of certainty around some of your equipment. And something I picked up recently on the reread that I had following Matt's game, equipment is dealt with in an unusual way. You have like common and then rarer items and stuff, and you like randomise the cost. So you basically could end up never paying the same price twice. And I just sort of thought, you know, I've not seen that before. That's quite interesting. It says about, you know, if this gets a little bit tedious, you can sort of introduce some more standard prices, and there's even a space in the book for you to kind of fill that out. But yeah, it's good sort of ideas in the book, just like that. And I've just touched on something else, this filling stuff in. The book has got quite a few spaces with kind of blank areas. So like all the in the classes, there's like a blank character sheet for each class where it's explaining the rules for the class. So you can, you know, if you've printed off your own copy like I have, you can just kind of just put your character straight in there and rub it out again later. And there's even like a hex map and a little chart for doing marching order. And I don't know, it's just different thinking. There's a couple of nice little adventures in the back and everything. So I'm gonna when I'm done running Basic Fantasy, I'm gonna run this as my next thing and really try and push the book and see what I can get out of it. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. And yeah, thanks for your call, Vince. In other news, I'm also getting a little bit of an itch to play 5e again. I don't quite know what's causing this. I sort of turned my back on it a little bit. I probably got a bit burnt out on it. And, you know, I was playing Kalmata and kind of got all fired up for BX. And you know, that moved into basic fantasy. But I've been hearing a few things about what's coming along for 5e. I'm quite interested to see what they do with the Sinister Secret of Saltmarsh. They're looking at sort of oceanic and sea-based adventures. Well, that's the impression I'm getting. And I've got a few episodes where I've talked about rivers and I kind of want to do some islands and different things like that. So I'm kind of interested to see what they do with boats and ships. And I've heard the new book is going to be a little bit more generic insofar as it's not going to be so focused on the Sword Coast. But I could be wrong in that. The other thing is Rich Fraser, Cockatrice Nuggets. We were sort of like chatting on the Audio Dungeon Discord, and he kind of recommended Guildmasters of Ravnica, and I heard a few good things about it. And when it came out, it got quite a bit of flack, but I've since decided that I'm going to take the plunge and make my own decision about it. I like the idea of there being these kind of these guilds, and they're highly detailed in the book, and I think it's going to be a good source of inspiration. I'm just basically going to lift the guilds out, but it surprised me. I thought I wouldn't be interested, but watching a few reviews, it kind of sounds like it might be quite an interesting setting. I don't play Magic, I know nothing about it, but it's sort of like high magic and kind of almost a bit of I don't know, maybe steampunkish, which I don't, I'm undecided about. But just sounds quite, well, to my mind, kind of fresh. I never got on the Eberron thing, which is something I'd also like to look at. And I'm also thinking, you know, I never did the Planescape either, so I'm just getting a little bit of a hankering for some of these little bit different settings. So that's something I'm going to explore. I should have that in a couple of days, and I'll let you know how I get on. On the theme of 5e, I've been looking at some alternative adventure paths, if that's what you want to call them. I mean, they're not really, they're scenarios away from the Wizards of the Coast stuff. So I've been looking at some Frog God games and Troll Lord games. Obviously, they've both got their own systems with Swords and Wizardry with the Frogs, and the Trolls have got Castles and Crusades. But I looked at Quests of Doom Awakenings and enjoyed reading that. I'm going to print out a hard copy from the PDF for myself, go through it again. But the Frog God stuff, it is pretty dense. It's packed into sort of like a fairly low page count, and you do get a kind of a wall of text, which is quite traditional, and I think, you know, very likely that's a deliberate move by them. But it's fine, it's kind of easy to read. I was a little bit intimidated to start with. That's why I've had this for quite a while and I've only just got around to reading it, was because I sort of like opened up the PDF and on a reader it was a bit much and I was like, whoa. But it's got nice art and like a nice kind of font. It's kind of hard to describe, you need to see it yourself. But I like what they've done with the maps, the artwork, and all in all, you know, as you'd expect, it's a, you know, top-notch production, really. And the Troll Lords, kind of similar, not quite so dense, maybe a little bit easier to read, or I don't know, it's probably not actually, it's just a different feel. I was looking at Assault on Black Ridge or Blacktooth Ridge, something like that, and there's sort of like a set of linked scenarios, but each one you can take independently of the others. And it looks like a nice little sort of mini setting. It's a kind of a 3D loosely you couldn't call it isometric, but it's just a picture of the village labelled up. And I don't know, I liked it. It's got a nice feel. I'm going to print that out as well. I read two of this. What, Assault on Blacktooth Ridge and something about a Knight's Lament, or don't know. But I didn't have massive expectations. I'd heard quite a lot about both these companies, but I didn't look into the reviews or anything. I picked it up as a humble bundle and just thought, wow, that, you know, at that price, I can't go wrong. It's taken me ages to get around to looking at them, but I'm glad I finally did. So that's something else. As I read a few more of them and get them to the table, I will. I'll let you know how I get on. And ramble, ramble, ramble. That's quite enough of that. I need to get some prep done. I want to come up with my 10 secrets for tomorrow's game. Session 5 of the Tomb of the Serpent Kings. More about that later in the week. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Thanks to everybody who called in. Take care, and I'll catch you later.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.